You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Francis speaks with Cameron Mulgan on Eurovision, giving a general update on the situation in the Ukraine, the UN's call for an independent investigation into rape there, and politicians visiting Zelensky. They also speak about the EU withdrawing their training mission in Mali, elections in France, and solar farming in Greece. Here we are now.
Unexpectedly heartfelt ukulele performance there from Iceland.
It's Eurovision on 95BFM with our European correspondent, Cameron Mulgan.
Kia ora, Cameron.
Hey.
Let's begin, as usual, this week with a general update on what's happening in Ukraine.
The UNHCR have reported that another 400,000 people have fled over the past week. That brings the total up to 4.6 million. UNICEF today have also stated that two-thirds of all Ukrainian children have been displaced by fighting. In the southeast port city of Mariupol looks set to fall any day after weeks of heavy fighting and shelling. Ukrainian Marines and Azov Battalion have been fighting Chechenian and Russian forces. The mayor says that over 10,000 civilians have died. This is after humanitarian convoys have been blocked for weeks on moving, and apparently only recently they're starting to move. There's been unconfirmed rumors of a chemical attack by Russia against Ukrainian forces, but that could also be due to destruction and fighting around industrial plants and needs to be independently verified. British citizen Aidan Asland announced today that he was about to be taken prisoner by Russian forces as he surrendered along with other Ukrainian Marines. He'd been enlisted as a Ukrainian Marine since 2018 after fighting ISIS in Syria with the YPG, and he had quite a popular Instagram profile called Cossack Gandhi. So unless there's a prisoner swap, expect to see him and other prisoners of war come up in propaganda. In Kramatorsk, in the east of the country in Donbass, over 50 civilians were killed by a rocket attack on Friday. This is at a train station as civilians were fleeing towards safety. Russian propaganda sources initially claimed responsibility and then quickly denied it as the carnage became apparent. So ahead of the war in Donbass in the east, Ukrainian forces desperately pleading for more offensive weapons such as tanks, armored vehicles, and more anti-air capabilities. This will probably be a conventional battle we haven't seen since World War II, with potentially tens of thousands of troops on both sides fighting.
And can we speak about the UN calls for investigations into rape in Ukraine?
Yeah, so the executive director for UN Women, Sima Bauhaus, says that allegations of rape and sexual assault by Russian troops should be independently verified. So following the Russian withdrawal of northern Ukraine above Kiev, there's been lots more reports of sexual violence and war crimes by Russian forces. Zelensky has said that there's hundreds of cases of rape. The Ukrainian chief prosecutor has stated that there's over 5,800 war crime cases being investigated, not just in Bucha, but in Borodyanka and in other areas. The EU have announced that they're helping to fund war crimes investigations, and French police are actually on the ground in Ukraine now helping with investigations.
Let's talk about political involvement in the ongoing conflict. Who is actioning things and what are they doing at the moment?
Yeah, so now that Kiev has been a lot safer, Zelensky's been being visited a lot by different politicians. So on Friday, EU Commission President Ursula von der Leyen visited Kiev and met Zelensky and also visited Bucha. She announced that they're going to fast track the Ukrainian application to the EU with hopefully a response by the summer. Although, to be honest, that looks unlikely due to other member state hesitations. British Prime Minister Johnson also went to Kiev on Saturday and met Zelensky and did a brief walking tour. He announced that he would send 120 armoured vehicles and also anti-ship missiles to the country. The day before, Boris Johnson actually spoke to Olaf Scholz after a visit to London, where he was more coy of support, and he urged more German support. Slovakia have also announced that they've given the Ukrainian some anti-air systems, and they're also looking at ways to give it its fighter jets as well. Today, German President Steinmeier was denied a meeting in Kiev due to his links with Russia through his political party, the SPD. There's been calls for German Chancellor Scholz to meet Zelensky, although still undetermined. The Green leader, Anna Baerbock, who's the current foreign minister, has criticised Scholz and said that Germany isn't giving enough military support. This is quite embarrassing for Germany, given its kind of policy of mercantile diplomacy, where basically it tried to improve relations through trade.
And talking further about the EU, I believe they are withdrawing their training mission in Mali. Can you explain that to me?
Yesterday, the EU have announced a withdrawal of their military training in Mali, stating that it wants to avoid a confrontation with the Russian mercenary Wagner Group. The bloc said it had not received sufficient guarantees that the Russian mercenary group would not interfere with its work. The Wagner Group are a Russian mercenary group who have operated previously in Syria, Libya, and now Ukraine. The EU have had a training mission since 2013 with Mali's military in its fight to combat jihadists in the Sahel region. The Sahel region is just below the Sahara, and it goes from Mali all the way to Chad. So post-Libyan civil war in 2012, with all the arms flowing out of the country, Mali experienced a rebellion in the north of the country with Tuareg separatists allying themselves with jihadists and took over parts of the north. In 2013, Mali requested help from French forces, which successfully took back the areas taken. And since then, you've had different missions going on. So you've had the French forces operating in a counterterrorism capacity since 2013 all across the Sahel. You've had a UN peacekeeping mission in Mali, and you've also had this EU training mission. This is on the amongst other kind of political changes in Mali. In 2020 and 2021, there was a military coup, or two different military coups. And the current government has expressed strong disagreements with the European presence. And Macron, because of this, Macron announced in February that he will fully withdraw his French troops over the next few months. So what's happened in Mali is now they've basically turned to the Wagner Group to help with this conflict. And just in late March, Malian forces and the Wagner Group conducted an operation in a town which that Human Rights Watch estimate up to 300 civilians have been killed. This is also kind of linked with a coup in neighboring Burkina Faso earlier this year, which was apparently linked to the government not wanting to hire the Wagner Group and its own military operations against the Islamic insurgency. So the German Foreign Minister Baerbock is actually visiting Mali now to assess whether the Bundeswehr presence will stay. Because you've still got the UN mission, now it's kind of up to each individual country assessing whether they'll stay in the country or not as peacekeepers.
And staying on France, last week we spoke about elections there. Can you give me an update on those?
Yeah, as expected, it's Macron and Le Pen through to the second round. So Macron received 27.8%, far-right Le Pen received 23.2%, and left-wing Mélenchon came very close at 22%. The other far-right, Zemmour, got 7%. Turnout was almost 75%, which is higher than expected. So it's a tough battle. Le Pen got much higher than expected, and she's polling better for a second round, with some polls saying it could be even 51-49 to Macron. Macron is currently fighting rising costs and inflation. Yesterday, he softened his stance on changes to the retirement age from 62 to 65, hinting it could come in much later. Le Pen is the far-right candidate with Russian links. Today, she said that she's against gas sanctions against Russia. Previously, she supported the Russian annexation of Crimea, and she's previously received a loan from a Russian bank. So if she does win, it would represent a significant shift, not just in France, but in wider EU policy as well. So the question is, what will Mélenchon supporters do? There's a lot of antipathy for Macron and Le Pen amongst different factions, so it really depends on the turnout. So yeah, it's still a long time to go. It's not until the 24th of April for the second round, but it'll be interesting to see what happens then.
Yeah, and we'll get an update then. And finally, let's jump over to Greece. And can you tell me about solar farming there?
Yeah, so the largest double-sided solar farm was opened this week. It was a 204-megawatt solar farm near the northern Greek town of Kozani, which was built by Greece's big oil refiner, Hellenic Petroleum. So this is going to supply 75,000 households and connect to the country's grid. I didn't know this, but Greece actually has 21% of its energy consumption already done by renewables, and they're wanting to increase this figure up to 35% by 2030. This is obviously very topical because of the climate crisis and as the EU tries to get itself off Russian energy.
Macedonia with a reggae twist.
That was Eurovision on 95 BFM.
That was a 95 BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.